writing. Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation 3. I guess Pastor mentioned to me, I guess I vaguely remember a little time ago about doing it on Wednesday, and I didn't think anything else about it. He texted me the other day, "Hey, you're going to be able to do it." I was like, So first of all, work's going crazy right now, so I wasn't sure if I was going to make it, but then had a little time last night to sit down and look at a couple of things, and something really caught my eye. This is not a Daryl original by any stretch of imagination, but as I was reading through it, I thought it was pretty good, so it would be good for tonight. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. But as we look at it, it's kind of a more, we do use it in a more general sense. And talking about more the about the sinner, about what he's wanting to do. So first of all, look at it just quick. It's not going to be long, more likely, but just kind of look at it. First of all, kind of look at the state or how the person is against God. We see, first of all, you think about, we know it's closed against God. The Bible says we're at enmity against God. I kind of think of that word Jacob. It's not that word enmity. It literally means enemy. You know, that there is no middle ground. There's no on the fence. There's either you're, and I hate to even say it that way, but you're either with him or against him. You know, but it's the truth. You know, we're either with God or we're against God. So, you know, some of the truth is as we think about the wicked where we were before, you know, this lost and dying world, they have no thoughts about God. Miss Debbie, they don't want anything. They want religion. They love religion. They eat religion up. You know, that's the reason these mega, Joel Osteen, I mentioned him quite a bit, but all these mega churches of people, they preach that prosperity and wealth and health gospel. You know, people love religion, but they don't like Jesus. They don't like salvation. So we think about how that soul, that state of that soul right now is, all his thoughts are against God. They live without God. They live without hope of this world. And there's a couple of things that kind of keep them in that state. First of all, ignorance. If you think about just a general ignorance. So, and I'm going to read some verses, and y'all can flip with me more if you want to here in a little bit. But over to Hosea, I'm just kind of read it real quick. In verse 4 and verse 6, he said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Thou has that thou shalt be no priest to me." So I was kind of thinking about that verse. So you think about how people are just destroyed by lack of knowledge. They refuse. The Bible says that when they knew not. Let me get over and read it. I'll just butcher it. Where's that? I had it written down a second ago. But he said, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. You know, they people know about God. Jacob, they want this God that's way far away. They want this God out there with a lightning bolt. And they look at these God on the cartoons and the movies and stuff like that. That's not the same God we're talking about. We're talking about the God of heaven and earth. So, you know, they're ignorant in it. They want to stay in that ignorance. They want to stay in that place of ignorance. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse number 4, he says this. He goes, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them." So we see, first of all, it's just ignorant. And I heard somebody say one time, that's just dumb on purpose. You know, they don't want to be. They don't want to know Jacob. They don't want to know God. They refuse to know God. They want to talk about religion. They love that. They want to talk about it. As long as you keep your salvation to yourself, they'll talk with you. You can go do church all you want to, as long as you keep it here, as long as you don't bring it out in this world. But you know they're ignorant, they're dumb on purpose. So you think about it, and not only because of ignorance, because of sin. You know, think about some sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You know, what is sin? Sin is a transgression of the law. Let's look at some other verses there at Romans 6, verse 17, while we're still in Romans. Romans 6, verse 17. He says this, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart." So I see that, first of all, Ratan, he says that you're the servants of sin. You're a servant of sin. That's where we were before, and that's where this lost and dying world, they're servants of sin. And he said a kind of similar verse over in John. I was looking at it just a couple minutes ago for while we were singing John 8 and verse number 34. He says, Verse number 34, I'm sorry. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is a servant of sin." So think about Miss Debbie. We look at these things and they don't even realize. They think they're in charge. They think they're having their best life. They're, you know, living their best life, and all these different statements they use, they're servants. They're servants of sin. Sin has dominion. You say, you know, sin should not have dominion over us, but it does. That's also in the world. They're having a reign in sin in their life. And then we see, you know, not only is it ignorance of the sin in their lives, but it's the love of this world. It's the love of this world. People love this world. They love this life. They love the sin that they're involved in. So, you know, we know some of the verses. Let's just read a couple of them real quick as we flip around over in James. We'll do 1 John first. 1 John chapter 2. In verse number 15, he tells us this: love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. So we think about how this world, people love this world. They love this wicked world we live in. James chapter 4, in verse number 4, he says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity?" There's that word again, enmity, with God. "Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." So it's just love of this world. Now we're once again talking, Jacob, that what's keeping people from being saved? We're talking about that state of that mind, where the mind's at. You know, we're talking about how important this mind is. So they're ignorant. It's their sin in their lives. Just the love of this world. And then just simple inconsideration. They just don't consider. They don't think any further out. And I'll read a couple of verses in the Old Testament again, over in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32 and verse number 29. He says, "Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this." And here it is: "that they would consider their latter end." That's a strong verse. If they will consider their latter end. What's going to happen in 100 years? What's going to happen in 1,000 years? What's going to happen in 1,000,000 years? What's going to happen in 10 million years? Where are we going to be at? If we're to we'll think about and we'll consider their latter end. And then over in Isaiah, kind of something similar. Over in Isaiah chapter 1. He said at the end of that verse, "But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider." See, think about those two verses, Brother Todd. He says that they don't know. If they would consider their latter end, but they don't know and they don't consider. They're not thinking about it. You know what, Jacob? It's just like anything else. It's not going to happen to me. We think about it all the time. We hear cancer. We hear this one that Todd talked about. Lay down, went to sleep, and never woke up. It's going to happen to them. It ain't going to happen to me. Or what's this going to happen? We don't know. We don't know. We need to consider our latter end. We need to consider what's going to happen. So they're in consideration. They don't think of what's going on. They don't deliberate on the consequences. They don't ponder over the things that are the most important things in their life. Is our position with Him. Where we are. You know, that's the most important thing in this world is where we are, where we stand with Jesus. So they're in consideration, but then we see just unbelief. And we're talking about where that sinner state of mind is. What's keeping him from being saved? We see his ignorance, his sin in his life, the love of this world, the inconsideration, but then unbelief. One of the greatest things, he said he would do. He could do many. He could not do many. Let's just read it. Hebrews 3:18. A lot of these things I can quote when I end up here. Over in Hebrews. Well, let me start with Mark. I'll wait to Hebrews. I'll stop at Mark real quick. Mark 6, in verse number 6. He says, and he marveled because of their unbelief. He marveled because of their unbelief. Still, amidst everything going on, they still didn't believe. Amidst all the miracles and all the signs and all the wonders, everything going on, Miss Debbie, they still didn't believe. And that was Romans 3:19 I was trying to get to. He says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. That one verse I was looking for. But he said he did not many wonderful works among them because of their unbelief. So we think about how this, what if they don't believe? They don't want to believe anything. They want to believe this world is their home. They want to believe it's all party time. They want to enjoy it. It feels good to do it. You know, they want to believe all these kind of things. But when it comes to salvation, they don't want to have anything to do with it. So we think about their state of mind is. And that's just kind of just the beginning part of it. So the state of the mind, they're ignorant. The sins reign in their life. The love of this world, inconsideration, the unbelief. So amidst all that, Todd, then here comes Jesus. That they're stuck in this. Miss Jennifer, they're stuck here. They're sitting here and having their fun and what they think is fun. And then, out of nowhere, here he comes, right? So he said, you know, and that's that. And now he's coming. You think about, and I guess I just start with it this morning. He said, behold, I. Let's just stop there for a second. He didn't send somebody. He says, behold, I. So he's talking about himself, right? That's Jehovah Jireh. That's God of heaven and earth. That's the one that said, let there be light, and there was light. That part of the Red Sea that, you know, made the sun stand still. This is the one that created everything, that breathed in a man the breath of life. He became a living soul. The one inhabiteth eternity. The heaven and earth is his footstool. When you think about it, he said, behold, I. That's something serious, Todd. He didn't send Gabriel. He didn't send Michael. He didn't send one of the archangels. He said, behold, I. What he's saying, he said, behold, I. And I think about it, as we look at this morning, what is his attitude now? He stands at the door. And I've been places. Well, they changed a good example. I had while we was gone, our door to our building, it's one of the things, once you unlock it, it stays unlocked, you go in and out, right? So we have been worried about security there at the building. So we had to change some things. While I was gone, they changed the door on the system. Also, my key, I always unlock my door, go in my office, and I throw my keys on the desk, go in and out doing my thing, right? This time I went out, and the door locked behind me. I had my keys. What else am I doing? I'm standing at the door. But I think about how I'm standing. There's nothing else I can do. I'm standing there, Jacob. I can't get in until somebody lets me in. I got to stand there. I wasn't patient. I was getting very impatient. And I'm going around to the windows and trying to get in and knocking on the window. Hey, let me in. But you think about how he is this morning, how where he stands at the door, his patience and his long-suffering. He's not beating on the door. He ain't going around to the windows. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Patience, Jacob. I think about how long he just stood there, Miss Jennifer, just knocking on my door. And how many times I just ignored him. And I think I thought about, you know, even when me and Tina got married with Jefferson Lighthouse, would always come on visitation. We'd always pretend like we wasn't home. Be real quiet. Shh. Turn TV off. Nobody can turn the lights off. Nobody will know we're home. But once again, you know, and I think about all those times when he knocked on my heart, and it was just, I'm stuck in this. I'm ignorance and the sin, the love of this world, the inconsideration, the unbelief. I'm too busy for that. And I think about Todd, how he was just the whole time. He's long suffering. He's patient. You know, I ignore, go away, you know, what it may be. You think think about him, and just kind of breaking down what he says, his attitude there, it's his patience and long-suffering. While everything, all the things going on inside, the partying and the frivolity and the ignorance and the sin and love of this world, he's still just patiently just knocking. And once again, who's knocking? The God of this world. He's knocking, wanting to have fellowship with me, Jacob. Just knocking. Not beating. Not beating on the door. Not trying to force his way in. Just knocking. So I think about how we put a lot of stuff, we glaze over some of that stuff so much that how just he's just standing there. The God of this universe stands at my heart's door and just knocks. He's a perfect gentleman. He's not going to beat his way in. Todd, he's not going to do anything. He said his attitude there, knowing that any time he'd be just in God and just saying, you know what? I tried. They want to answer the door. Fine, I'll leave. I won't come back. You know what, Todd, Jacob, that's what I asked him to do a bunch of times. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. I don't want anything to do with it. I'm good. I'm good. I got this. Jacob, any time he would have been just in him and God, and said, okay. And that's what he said over in Romans. He talked about it. Sometimes he does. He turns them over to a reprobate. Okay. You don't know, retain God in your knowledge. I'll turn them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that are not convenient. That's the reason. And I think once again, and y'all, some of y'all have heard a story, and some of them not. A little fellow I used to work with that. He was half Hispanic, half Japanese. Odd combination. But he was a little fella. He was a fireball on the back of a truck. So me and him talked for a long time. We always invite him to church, talking about being saved and stuff like that. And he'd always, yeah, nah, nah. And I said that one day we talked, and he was just, one of his serious times, Todd, he said, it don't matter. I'll go to hell anyway. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, it don't matter. I'll go to hell anyway. I said, you know, why do you keep saying that? And we've always heard it said, you know, Tina said before, you know, she believed that was her last opportunity to get saved. He said to me, and it was almost one of those things that just almost sends chills down your tongue when he said it to me. He says, he gave me my choice. I made my decision, and that's it. He was that certain, Jacob, that God, you know, people we talking about turning to reprobate mind, he was that certain that God gave him his chance, and that was his last chance. We hear about people testify and they believe God that this is my last chance and I got saved. She took advantage of that last chance. But I tell you what, you know, he was that certain, just as certain as Tina was that was her last opportunity, she took it. He was that certain that was his opportunity and he didn't. And he said, Jacob, it don't matter. I'll go to hell anyway. Now think about that, Todd, how he stands at a door and knocks, right? And we don't know how long he's going to knock. We don't know when that, Todd, Jacob, we don't know when that last chance, that sinner doesn't know when that last chance it is. But he stands there patiently outside the door and knocks. While everything else is going on the inside, he stands at the door and knocks. You know, and some of why he's standing at the door, what some things he going, and I think about some of the why he's standing there, while he's knocking, some of the things he's performing. Also, you think about how he just daily he blesses. He always, you think about this lost down world, like they're still prospering, they're still eating well, they're still everything going well, act like everything's good. You know, the Bible says one thing is daily that he loadeth us with benefits. And then it said in the same place that it's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. You know, sometimes God is just good to people, trying to get them to a spot where they'll see and glorify Him. So you're talking about in the midst of everything, He's loading them with benefits. He's His daily bounties, He's giving them each and every day. You know, just trying to get them to that spot of realizing those benefits coming from Him. I mean, it's not just to save people that get to eat well. It's not just to save people that get to do the, you know, enjoy life. It's great enjoying life. I love going on cruises. We love having a good time. But you know what? At the same time, God allows these things in people's lives. It's the goodness of God, the Bible says, leadeth thee to repentance. You think about, once again, the thing he's doing, he's offering the gospel. He's sending people by their way, Jacob. Think about how many times maybe you heard the gospel message, received a tract, heard have somebody come knock on your door, heard somebody preaching on the streets, you know, whatever it may be, or just, he offers the gospel to him. He knows, and this is what gets me, I guess, more than anything, Todd, he knew all those times I was rejecting. He knew when I was going to get saved, but he knew all those times before that I was going to reject him. And you know what he did anyway? He offered it to me anyway. He kept offering it. He all knew when I was going to reject it, but he still offered. I can't understand some of that, Jacob. I really can't. How God can keep doing that and know when I'm going to reject him. Knowing that one day I'm going to accept him, but he kept offering, knowing I'm going to reject anyway. I get tired of doing that. You know, I keep offering some people the same thing every day, and day in and day out, and they keep rejecting it. You know, eventually I'm going to quit asking. So I think about when Mama, Mama got mad at me one time because we didn't invite her to go on a cruise. I said, Mama, you ain't going to go on a cruise. Why am I going to offer? My life's like to be asked. Why am I going to ask you if you're going to tell me no? Right? So it's the same thing. You know, it's God, He keeps asking. He keeps offering the gospel. He keeps doing it over and over. His gracious offers of the gospel. But then you talk about the Spirit, as he sends the Spirit to deal with hearts as well. Romans, let's see if I find it quick. I should put on my glasses. John 16:18, verse 7, I guess. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I believe, I go to my Father, and you see me no more. A judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So think about it. He sends the benefits. He's good to sinners. He sends benefits to them. He offers the gospel, but then he sends his Spirit to constantly deal with their heart. You know, that's what that was before I got saved, when I came into church and preaching is like, you talking to me? That's that Spirit dealing with your heart constantly. Yeah, you know, as you, this Spirit just keep dealing with you over and over and over again. You see, he convinces the men of sin and strives for them to be saved. And then you think about just providence, everything going on in this world, how God tries his best trying to get people. You think about 9/11 and all those things. I'm not saying that was God trying to get our attention, but I'm not saying it ain't either. But you think about how it was there, you know, as Pastor said it 100 times, after 9/11, it was pray for the USA. Even, you know, the beer places and the bars, they had that on their marquee, pray for the USA. Everybody was saying it. But how quickly, Todd, it was just back to normal. No more pray for the USA anymore. So God uses a providence. He uses situations around to see, for people to realize. And you think about even death, sicknesses, the things God allows. And, you know, talking about the verse in Ecclesiastes, that it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting, because the living will lay it to their heart. Why did God allow bad things to happen to good people? Have you heard that before? Sometimes God wants these things, allows these things to happen to get your attention, to get us so they'll be saved. So, you know, so that's kind of what he's standing there. He's standing there, he's knocking. He's allowing these things to see the promise coming in at the end of it. In fact, let's go back to Revelation real quick. Hear them storms coming in. Revelation 3 and verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That's the first part of it. That's God's part, right? He says, "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and he will sup with him, and he with me. So you think that's some of the conditions on the promises. He said, if any man hear my voice and open the door, first of all, he says, hear my voice. What's that mean? Mason a lot of times can hear, but he ain't hearing. I say something to him, and he ain't, yeah, Dad? And he's already on to something else. And he ain't got a clue what I just said. And I do the same thing to Tina before she said it. But we're hearing, but we're not really. This talking about this is actually the getting saved part, where he's hearing, he's understanding what's going on. He's being enlightened by God's word. But then he said, "Open the door." Once again, that's man's part in it. God's doing his part. He's standing outside knocking. He's trying to convince. He's doing all these things. Open the door. He said, "Open the door." That we got to. I surrender all. That mindset. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. That's us opening the door and welcoming Him in. That's that opening door. That's that part of getting saved. That's hearing and understanding and then comprehending and believing the promise in the midst of it. He says, if you'll do these things, I will come into Him and will sup with Him and He with me. Once again, it kind of took in a lot of those verses. Him that cometh to me, I'll no wise cast out. You know what? He'll not refuse. No, not one. You know, he said he will refuse us a home in heaven. No, not one. No, not one. Oh, if we'll respond to that call this morning, if we'll respond to it, you know, that's what he wants. But I think about how, once again, back all the way back almost to the beginning, how patient he is. How long-suffering he is, where he just stands there and just patiently knocks. What a great God we have, Todd, that he's so patient and just stands at the door and knocks. And all he wants is us, anybody in this world, those that are not saved, he wants those to answer. And he said if they'll answer, they'll believe, they'll listen, they'll hearken, they'll open the door, I'll come into them. They can be saved. So I think about just, you know, so what's our... trying to get people to that place that they'll open the door. That's what God used. As He's standing at the door knocking, what's He doing with us? He's using us to continue to plant those seeds. To get them to a place where they can hear, get rid of the noise around them, the sin and everything going on around them, and get them where they can hear that knock. That's our job, Todd. We can't beat the door down. We can't knock the door down and drag them out there to Him. Not knocking. You hear it now. Somebody's at the door. I want to go see who it is. So I think about this morning. That's our job this morning, or this evening, to be able to get to that place as we're trying to guide them to that place. That's all he's doing. Like I said, he's not beating. He's just knocking. And the application, I was really looking at that. I was looking at what to look at, and that was just, it jumped out at me. Let's read a verse. We're done. Behold, I, God of heaven, stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. I just thank God that I did that. November 14, 2000, I was able to open the door. So I hope that everybody's in here has done that. And we'll get busy out in this world trying to point people to him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day and your goodness. Thank you for our time together tonight, Lord, as we can gather, Lord, in your house, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord. How important it is to us. How it enlightens us. How it gives us meaning and understanding in our lives, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for those of us who are gathered tonight, those that have professed to be saved. Lord, I pray, Lord, you help us, Lord, as we go out into this lost and dying world. Help us get to a place where we're trying our best, Lord, and doing your will, Lord, to point people to you. Lord, I pray, Lord, you help us in the remainder of the week, Lord, as we go through the rest of these couple of days. Lord, I pray, Lord, for those who are not with us tonight. Lord, pray for Pastor, Lord, as they're out about. Lord, you watch over them, Lord, as they travel back. Lord, I pray that you keep them safe. Lord, for others, Lord, that will need to hear something. Lord, I pray, Lord, you might use the thoughts tonight, Lord, to help somebody, Lord, to see them. Once again, I love you and thank you, Lord, for my church family, Lord, as we can gather here tonight. Love you in Jesus' name. Amen.